Can you turn my headphones down a little bit?
Yes.
Thank you.
Don't need to hear a lot.
No, I have nothing to say.
I hope that's not the case because we're about to record a podcast.
Unfortunately, the opposite is true. And what I would love, I'm going to make a promise right now to our listeners.
Okay.
And that is that we will be doing no more episodes with Rachel's journal entries from pre-2020 for the rest of the season.
I'm glad you said the rest of the season because I was like, I don't know that we can make that promise forever.
No. But I am emotionally tired from looking through them.
Yeah. I mean, I can certainly understand that. And I would be concerned if you weren't.
Yeah. You can't imagine the stress that I'm under.
I'm small and I have no money.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Lauren.
Through years of playing together and our band coping skills, our collaborations have often focused more on bits and banter than on actual music.
So we created a space for our superfluous antics to thrive alongside music commentary, interviews, and more.
This is More Talk, Less Rock. I just want
girl music of the indie rock persuasion. It is a list of CDs if she has
one. So I'm supposed to buy her some noodles and a book and sit around listening to chicks who can't play their instruments, right?
Does anything describe early coping skills more than that very specific soundbite from the movie, the film 10 Things I Hate About You? 1999.
No, I don't think so.
So it's appropriate then that we chose that as the foreword, I'm using air quotes because that is what we called it, the foreword to our first EP, Everything is Stupid and I Hate It.
We definitely ripped that off of YouTube, didn't we?
We absolutely ripped that off of YouTube. Thank you, YouTube to MP3.
It really is like we did have the foresight to make that the perfect introduction.
And the foresight to like clip it out so it's not automatically attached to the song.
Yeah.
You know, I like it being its own standalone thing. I wanted people to know this is what represents us in the moment without it being tied to the song forever.
Yeah. And then you can skip it if you want to, I suppose. But yeah. You shouldn't do that.
That's a choice I would never make. Anyway, if you are listening to this on June 30th, 2021, it is the 6-year anniversary of our first release, Everything is Stupid and I Hate It.
6 years.
6 years. And if you are a loyal listener to the pod, which I imagine we only have those and not the transient listeners, you're a small but dedicated base and we love you. Then
casual listeners need not apply.
Then I'm sure you have already guessed that we are doing a wow, it's a birthday. Let's talk about something that we made episode. Which is, again, why I don't want to be looking in my old journal entries anymore. But bitched about it at the beginning of the ep. I have so many feelings.
Yeah.
Had.
Yeah.
Still do. But, like, I feel very removed from those feelings. Yeah. And so having to look at them and be like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's bleak.
I feel like these are good feelings to be a little bit removed from.
Yeah. Oh, yes. If only you knew. Treasures untold.
Well, I'm thrilled.
Yes. Thrilled is a word that I will not be using today. And so, you know, this was our first EP. I think it's important to talk about. This is the first music that we ever released into the world and played our first show 1 week later. Thanks again, Pat Quigley, for believing in us. And I have come a full 180 over the passage of time on this EP.
Yeah?
Yes. As you may recall, there was a period in time when I think we actually did take it off Bandcamp for a little bit. Private mode.
You took it off Bandcamp.
Okay, true. Let's be more specific.
Because I want the record to show that I always thought we should keep it up. Because this is just, I think this is like a a me versus you thing and something that is distinct about each of us is that, like, I feel like I'm in general just like let things be what they are. I don't tend to get like embarrassed about things like that very easily.
Totally.
But I also can see how like a lot of this EP is about your feelings and your personal experiences. And that
it had nothing to do with the content. I'm reading my journal entries online. I think I am at least somewhat comfortable with just being like, all right, here, I write song. Like, this is just, it was just the recording quality at one point. I think I was like, meh. Yeah. And now I've been like, this sounds good. This question mark. It sounds good.
But also, like, even if it didn't, like,
yeah,
showing the journey, I think it's cool to see how we, you know, quote unquote bad we used to be and then how quote unquote better we are now.
Yeah. I have stopped being so precious about my previous work. And I think that is great for me personally.
Certainly less exhausting, I think.
Yeah, you would think. No, it is. And so we put out this first EP and we're going to talk about it right now.
In case it wasn't made clear, why is it called Everything Is Stupid and I Hate It?
Okay, so
there is a story.
There is, of course, a story. In the year of our Lord, 2014, 2014, at some point, in the late 2013, long early ago. 2014 era.
In a galaxy far, far away.
In a galaxy far away. I was trying to remember when we lived at a house called Sad Girl. The real ones know, which was 2013 to 2014. And in my bedroom at, yes, it was, Lauren.
It was. Yeah, it was.
You couldn't see, but Lauren was giving me the
I wasn't giving you. I was giving myself because I had to be like, yeah, okay, it was.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't trust you, but I just needed to do, I needed to do the math myself.
Sure. In my bedroom at the house called Sad Girl, I taped a very large, long piece of white paper on my wall as a, like, just write shit down on it when you need to just, like, put things on it without caring about what you're putting on it. Fill the piece. Not a successful project.
A good idea, though, I think.
Not great with a blank canvas, you know? I need to see the whole vision. Did not see anything. And the person who most of this who like two-thirds of this EP and some earlier, some other later than this, but early coping skills songs are about, had at one point written on this piece of paper, "Everything is stupid and I hate it." And here's the thing that I've maybe said on this show and maybe have not, but don't give me shit. Or I will keep it forever and use it against you, maybe, in art.
Fodder for content.
Everything you give to me is fodder for content. And I'm, you know, I'm telling you up front. So what I had done with this, and this was very telling of the person. You can imagine why songs such as these were written about a person such as that.
Who just writes everything is stupid. Plus, I hate it.
Plus, I hate it. It is a plus sign. You know... That is...
Which, can I just say?
Yeah.
Pretentious.
So I ripped it out of that large... I'm talking like 8 feet long piece of paper.
It took up the whole wall.
I had ripped it out of there as its own standalone unit, scanned it in, rearranged the text in a straight line, and we put that directly on the cover of the EP in this person's handwriting.
Art.
Yeah, art. Yeah, that's not either of our handwritings. Mine is not good, but it certainly does not. Certainly. It certainly doesn't look like that. It sure certainly is what certainly means.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure mine is worse, so.
Yeah, and I put it in one of my many journals on May 18th, 2015. I had, at some point, seen this photo that is also on the cover, taken by Jessica Lim, who we went to UArts with. I had at some point seen that and hit her up and was like, hey, I like this. This goes with this. Can we use this? And she let us use it. Those two things together became the cover art for this EP.
Mm-hmm.
And this only ever came out on Bandcamp. And, you know, before it came out on cassette, pressed through Verdian Sounds, on Bandcamp, you put a description for things. And the description on Bandcamp says, it's a quote from a text message that I received. Again, you just don't speak to me.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm saying...
Oh, people in your life.
If you say shit to me, I may just, like, write it down.
Yeah, people in your life should not speak to you.
Yeah, to remember the things that you did to me. I received a text message on Friday, July 18th, I'm assuming 2014, and at 9:25 p.m. Well, first of all, there was a text at 8:55 p.m. that just says, was that weird? Question mark?
Was what weird? We don't have to say.
I'm not. We're not. And then at 9:25, this is just how things happened. I don't know what else to chalk it up to. And I don't.
What a dick.
Here's the thing. The quote text on the EP description on Bandcamp has a dot, dot, dot. So I left some things out.
Yeah.
That's what a dot, dot, dot means.
Yes.
It says, on paper, yes, you and I work very well together. I don't know what it was. Maybe my propensity towards toxic relationships and knowing that our potential one wouldn't be that way and convincing myself I wouldn't be able to function as a result. This is just speculation. It's something I've thought about a fair amount. End scene.
I'm sorry that I keep laughing. It's not
no,
it's
I'm
funny.
Glad. It is funny. It is funny. Please laugh at my pain. Like, it's, this was a person that I, like...
What a little bitch.
What a little bitch. Yeah. And the conversation continues on. Famously, this person also said, I don't feel good about this, which is the title of the third song on this.
Because again,
EP.
Don't say anything.
Again, just like don't put me in a situation where you're just like gaslighting me, and I need to make sure in the future that I wasn't wrong, because I will write it down and I will call you out on a podcast 7 years in the future. So,
I'm glad I never heard what was in that ellipses, but
yeah,
it's nice to have the whole story. It is exactly what I thought it would be.
Yeah, it surely was another time.
Yeah.
And so from here, I think we should get into the first full track.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Hour at Mad Mex. Attitude bass.
This is the saddest bass in the world.
What do you know about this song, Lauren?
So,
what are your thoughts and feels?
So, I vaguely remember a story that you told me about being at Mad Mex, which is...
You're already wrong.
Okay.
But I would like to hear this false memory that you're holding on to.
I don't even actually know where Mad Mex is.
I think there was / is one in University City. Somewhere West Philly, perhaps.
So you were not at a happy hour at Mad Mex?
Certainly not.
Okay.
I was under... Was I? I was like maybe 21 when I started writing this song.
There was something about sitting on a curb.
That's message send failure.
Okay.
Also not in a Mad Mex.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No. I have long maintained that memory is like an untrustworthy beast.
Yeah.
Cannot be tamed.
Yeah.
And
well, also I feel like
they're also not your experiences. So
right.
Like, for you to have to remember them, like,
and also
you just are not obligated.
The nature of our relationship at this time, I think, was similar but also very different than it is now.
Sure.
And I don't necessarily know that you would have, like, told me, like, the entire, like, word-for-word story.
I feel like
maybe I'm just
definitely would have, and you are just saying
I just give myself a cop-out?
You're giving yourself a cop-out. And I think the
Do
more,
I really just don't remember?
It is honestly okay that you don't remember. Like, We were all going through a lot in this time period of our lives. Yeah. And the only reason I know as much as I do is because I was foolish enough to write it down.
I think you were smart enough to write it down.
It depends on the day.
Well, without you writing it down, we would not have all of this content, would we?
What would we podcast about?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm. What, are we going to podcast about my life? Absolutely not.
Well, you would never.
Those will be like
extra special exclusive Patreon bonus episodes in the future.
I was actually like thinking this week, like if we did like a Rachel Dispenza style, let's go back into the archives and like revisit some significant part of my life and talk about it through music. What that would even, I literally don't even know what that would look like.
I would love the experience. You know, I'm just going to put it out there that I would love for the tables to turn, you know, for the turntables.
For the turntables, yeah, yeah.
But you have to decide in yourself, like, what you are comfortable and willing to share in this format.
And I also think there's something to be said for having, you know, all those journal entries and having that writing to go back and like you said, kind of reinforce the memories that are not often the most reliable.
Totally.
And I,
or accessible.
Or accessible, yeah. And I just don't have that because I was never a person who kept a journal in any significant way. Because I'm not really a person who processes things in that way through writing. Like, I don't have words. Like
totally.
That.
Sure.
But if I come up with something, you know, I'm sure we'll make an episode about it.
Great.
But anyway, back to the task at hand.
For now, into my journals.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was Happy Hour at Mad Max.
Yeah.
And
can I say another, one of the first classic examples of me singing songs about your experiences and your trauma.
Yes. though it went back and forth a little bit, I think. I have some demos. But first,
yeah,
shall I read an entry from the book of 2014, Psalm March 31st?
I would love it if you would.
Great. I wouldn't. Oh, I just want to say that we all need to give 2014 Rachel Dispenza some empathy in this moment.
I want to give them a hug.
Me too.
I feel like they need it.
Oh, boy. Thursday night will stick with me for a long time. You worried I would take offense to the notion of you wanting to hang out with me when you were already drunk, but I don't see it as an insult. I find a more honest version of yourself. We put on Tell All Your Friends, which is a record by Taking Back Sunday.
Thank you for clarifying that for me.
Yeah, that was for you. Which felt like a mistake in minutes. Lyrical hooks and jabs casting me into a losing fist fight. I did my best to keep up. You did your best to stay awake. When that became too much, you lay silently on my chest, fingertips finding home in my collarbone. I stroked the hairs on the back of your neck. I only want you to feel safe in my arms. Into the darkness, you softly proclaimed, I'm gonna miss you. Just before rolling over to take refuge in the crevice between my ribcage and bicep and drifting off to sleep. You won't, parentheses, or claim you won't, end parentheses, remember this, but I know it speaks volumes. And so this person had been at a happy hour at Mad Max before.
Oh.
Wanting to
and then they
come hang
to
out
you.
With me.
Yeah, yes. Hang out.
And I clearly didn't really trust this person a lot to begin with if I felt that, oh, you'll be more honest with me if you're drunk.
Yeah, I think that was the right call.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's kind of where the song comes from. And later in my journal, nearly a year later, based on the previous page, I have the lyrics. And I have you don't really want me until your life gets boring and I don't really need you the way that I pretend to. 2 days till you call me up again. Add 3 more hours and you're in my bed. Both add and are crossed out now. 4 months later, you'll move out west. If I don't answer, it's probably for the best. Probably is crossed out now. On and off again, it's the same routine, but it's crossed out. Same is now endless. Mm. And then I have whole lines crossed out that said, but now you'll only visit in my dreams to remind me that you'll never stay, which changed to an apparition crashing all my dreams to remind me that you'll never stay. Why won't you go away? And then the quote Don't Get Serious, Don't Get Attached, I'm Gonna Leave and Never Come Back. A year ago, That's How You'd Threaten Me is what it was. And then it was crossed out and changed to The Hollow Threat Kept on Repeat. But You Still Live Right Down the Street. Empty Promises Come as No Surprise. Tequila Spill Secrets You'd Rather Hide. Drunk Confession to My Collarbone Claims You're Gonna Miss Me, But You're All Alone. And then the hook repeated again. One of the things that I found interesting, because I was listening through our demos earlier before going into the journal, I was surprised that I changed so many lyrics because I never remember the old ones. I just remember the way that it gets recorded.
Yeah.
Or seldom remember the before revisions. And there was a lot that was changed there.
I feel like I remember that we had started writing songs with some of those lyrics that were crossed out. Because I remember singing some of them,
mm-hmm.
or I have the recollection of them being part of the song. And so it is interesting how those things happen. Did we start writing the song and then change the words after to fit the song? Or were you writing through the lyrics before that was ever actually put to music?
Well, I have a demo from February 3rd, 2015, called Rough as Hell. Hell in capital letters. And that's only a minute long,
mm-hmm.
that I think is worth listening to.
Okay.
2 days till you call me up again. Add 3 more hours and you're in my bed. 4 months later you'll move out west. If I don't answer, it's probably for the best. A very particular energy I was just giving off.
Yay.
By just, I mean 6 years ago.
You don't really want me until you're it's boring, and I don't really need you the way that I pretend to.
I mean, it's all there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is all there. And then there's another demo that's the full length of the song.
Yeah.
From March 9th, 2015, so a month later.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Sit On It, which I think was more instructions to me than it was a potential song title.
Yeah, okay.
I think that was listen to it, figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
Which makes sense. Based on when that journal entry is and the revisions versus this. All the old lyrics.
Yeah. Okay, this is what I remember.
And clearly you hadn't added the ooze yet.
No. I hadn't come to terms with that.
Tequila spill. you're gonna miss me, but you're all alone.
That drum loop gets me every time.
Thank you. I picked it myself. Or maybe I build it. I felt like I was only using Logic in those days.
Was this not a GarageBand joint?
No, I've never been a GarageBand person.
Oh.
I think I built that. Oh,
because we had Logic from school. That's probably why.
Yeah, I think I built that with Ultra Beat, and it's the same beat.
Whoa,
all the way through the song.
Yeah.
I was thinking today on the drive over when I was listening to the real EP to get, like, in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about production choices that I would make that would be different.
Yeah.
Like, instead of the hand claps all the way through, I would just save them for the choruses, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Having the drums go
build
out.
Build energy. Yeah.
Having the drums go out at But You're All Alone.
Whoa.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you live, you learn. You grow in 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of what is fun about, you know, how we kind of have this exercise of re-recording songs, specifically with I Don't Feel Good About This, in different ways,
mm-hmm.
is that you do kind of allow yourself to listen to the songs and make different choices than you would have previously.
And, you know, as we started writing more songs and playing more songs, these things kind of get left off the set list. Mm-hmm. And so you don't think about them. And when you go back, you're like, oh, this is cool. I like what I did here. But also it'd be cool if we did this here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested, do you know, because I feel like when you had started writing stuff and we were recording it and we had kind of made the decision, you sing the choruses still of this.
Yes.
But I'm singing the verses.
Yes. I both could not sing the song and play the guitar line for the verses at the same time. And I just couldn't really sing the song in general. I couldn't find the right notes as I was singing and playing along.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to record your parts first, mm-hmm. so that I could follow along with you when we tracked it, because otherwise I just was shooting in the dark, essentially.
And can I just say, listening back to these now, I think it is, you've come such a long way.
Thank you.
And your singing is so good now.
Thank you.
And, you know, not that it wasn't good before.
No, it wasn't, and that's okay. It's like I'm comfortable acknowledging that it wasn't good before. I think it's fine to be,
yeah,
like, reasonable.
But I think it is important to acknowledge that growth.
Thank you.
And we don't really have to do that anymore.
No.
I don't think.
No.
We're like, I would have to sing it because you either couldn't hit the notes or couldn't sing and play guitar at the same time.
Sure.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
And this is where I put it.
Sponsored ad.
If I had one. Sorry. Lost the happy. But the happy's back.
Our first foray in open tunings.
I have a hot take, and it's that this song is a banger.
It's a banger. I, like, forgot, because it's weird, you know? It is weird. It does, like, a lot of tempo changes and isn't consistent, but
it's like, how much of that was intentional, and how much of that was just us being bad?
It's just how I wrote songs. I was like, this is what I want to do here, so we're gonna do it.
Yeah. I do kind of like how we, in these earlier songs, were not really so beholden to classic song structure. We were kind of just like, we're going to write the songs that we want to write because these are the songs that we can write.
Right.
And that's just the way they're going to be.
Exactly.
Hold on. I just love those harmonies.
They're great. They're really good. I love this bass line, too.
Yeah. The tambo's a great choice. Guitar riff is great.
it's all great. Up and down the strings.
Open tuning, baby! But, like, why make things more complicated than they need to be?
Those are the notes of a chord. That's why it sounds good together. Classic Lauren harmonizing with himself. I truly love it.
I really tried.
You did it. You succeeded.
I feel like this was also my idea.
What thing?
To do the echoing vocals.
Could have been.
That absolutely seems like a thing that I would have said. Oh, we should like fill the space and like echo the vocal to fill the space.
Yeah, I buy that. I think the gang vocals sound great too.
Gang vocals are great.
They're not like too much.
No.
They're just
well, there
right.
is only two of us.
But I mean, we didn't like force it
your
face.
Yeah.
So that's Message Send Failure. And this one also has like preliminary lyrics written out that were then modified with a different pen so you knew time had passed. And all my jokes were
regurgitated. That was really helpful of you to do that.
Yeah. But it was always called Message Send Failure. It was in quotes because, okay, story time. this had to have been like, I think August 2014. Oh, yes. Late August 2014. And I had been at Terry's bar drinking with a friend and decided to try to reach out to my high school boyfriend for some reason.
I mean, we all do things in vulnerable times.
Yeah. I don't know. There's, you know how there are just some people that you will probably always think about and just hope that they are okay and wonder what they are doing?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of those people. And I had tried to text him and the receipt response was message send failure. It did not go through. And I was like, okay, this is probably for the best. But then, you know, the song kind of became about that on top of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the original lyrics were citywide, still I'm teary-eyed, underneath fluorescent lights on 9th Street. I have no idea where you are, but I bet my last $3, you're not thinking of me. Whiskey runs down my throat like holy water, aimed to resurrect your memory. Which got changed to, I don't know where you are, you don't think of me. Whiskey flows down my throat like holy water, hellbent on your resurrection. Editing is so cool.
You streamlined a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. There are space for all of these words, and they are not serving the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was your name in bold above a 3-word description of all our communication. Message send failure. You're one of the worst things I ever let happen to me. Is my story wrong in my brain? Hold on. Because that last part is not how I feel about this person. You know, I think I had also, interesting that I didn't write about it other than lyrics, but that got streamlined to your name in bold above those 3 words that keep us apart. Huh. And then I had circled message send failure and wrote title, comma, maybe not lyric. So I was right.
You really knew.
Yeah. And then I'd written, all my best friends wish themselves dead, and this week I don't blame them. / and this week I'm right there with them. That's really interesting because I feel like that night I both tried to contact this high school boyfriend and the person who the rest of the EP is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the line, you're one of the worst things I ever let happen to me, which was actively changed from that ever happened to me to that I ever let happen to me.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, as a shifting perspective on, you know, how I felt about this. There was a very on and off again, quote unquote, relationship with this person. So I think I was feeling like
there's a little bit of self-blame there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, my memory feels a little foggy about whether I had tried calling that person, the high school boyfriend, and nobody answered or didn't go through to a number, and then had tried texting this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily the message didn't send or something. But a lot was going on that night, needless to say.
Yeah. There's a little bit of, you know, conflating of the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like every song has to be about just one thing or just one person or just one experience.
They seldom are.
Yeah.
But we have three different demos. We were very industrious. It's like we graduated college and we're like, all right, let's make an EP. The first one is just says Message Sent Failure and is from May 11th, 2015.
That absolutely was not the right note.
We gotta figure it out.
What is going on here?
That's how it began, you know, first
bounce. What the fuck was that?
You know, we were still figuring out the song. There was still a lot to parse through.
That was all over the fucking place. Wow. Okay.
Well, less than a week later, we have MSF5-18-15.
Okay.
Or slash, I'm sorry. Guitar already sounds better. A little slower.
This was probably not recorded to a click.
Oh, absolutely not. It couldn't have been.
Yeah.
There is a bass now, but it's a little low. Has not found their voice yet.
All right, we got there.
We got there. We figured it out, you know? Hadn't figured this part out yet either. We did try doing a higher harmony though. I see that.
Yeah, we did try.
And then we have another one from May 27th, 2015.
Mm.
Which is close to the...
Yeah, this one rocks a little harder.
Yeah, we have the two different guitar sounds.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Bass still isn't loud enough yet, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I changed the lyric there. From underneath to beneath.
Yeah. You would think two people who had just gotten a degree in music technology would have been better at this.
For those who can't see my face, which is everybody, it's just a gape. Like, delightfully agape.
We didn't go
a good job.
We did a good job.
It wasn't just a production degree. It was a business entrepreneurship degree, and we had to deal with a lot of shit to get here.
I know.
I only need to say jazz history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, I'm gonna say this had to be your idea.
It's absolutely something I would have suggested.
Yeah. I love it. Love your harmonies,
it's
Lauren.
This week I'm right there with them.
That's where
it hits hard.
That's where the pit should open up, and then we're just like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. There definitely could have been some fist bumping in there.
Yeah, and so that's message send failure, for better or for worse or for lack of memory. I wish I had, remembered more, but it's probably for the best that it doesn't matter.
I mean, the fact that you remembered as much as you did, I think, is incredible.
Yeah, I remember putting my phone in Ruben's car for a while, and or my car, I don't know. In a car. And I remember sitting on the couch at Millhouse crying. So
Millhouse being the house that we both lived in at the time.
After Sad Girl,
yeah.
Yeah, yes. And then we have I Don't Feel Good About This.
Mm-hmm.
From that famous text message exchange earlier in the episode. 1:49 a.m.
Yeah.
It was almost I Don't Feel Good About This, parentheses, 1:49 a.m.
Really?
Yeah, there was a point in time. It's written in the journal.
Okay.
We're not going to harp on this one as much because we did an entire deep dive of it for episode 2.9.
We've talked about this one at length, for
sure.
So
if you haven't listened to that episode, feel free to go back in time and listen to that and see all of the versions of it, because there is this being the first, and then we re-recorded it for our first record, Relatable Web Content, and then we put out a new version of it that we made for that episode, episode 2.9.
Mm-hmm.
But because we are exploring this EP and reminiscing for its 6th birthday,
I can't believe it.
I know. Grow up so fast.
It seems like a lot of time and not a lot of time at the same time.
Yeah,
it is. I love how that works.
Time is elastic.
Mm-hmm.
I still maintain that second verse is one of the best things I've ever written. Such a drag. Such a drag.
It's a great line.
Thank you. If you're gonna be petty, at least be clever.
Quoted Rachel Dispenza, 2021.
My voice this tinny still?
No.
Thank you. I know I'm trying to be less precious about things, but sometimes, you know, when it's doubled,
yeah.
Yeah.
before we discovered auto-tune.
Certainly. Well, by discovered, you mean used it.
Yeah.
Great shake and flourish you did there.
Thank you.
I'm confident that even then, you were doing the shaker and the tambourine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's that song.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to say about I Don't Feel Good About This?
Not particularly. I think we kind of hit on it. Hit on it all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that song in particular, I think is, I have a soft spot tip for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you do too, just because it's one that we have returned to so many times and one that we've played a lot and one that, you know, it kind of keeps coming up. And I think it's really good. And I think it has resonated with a lot of people. And I think that this version sounds better than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're after used not to having the new versions.
Yeah.
I just have to say that I do have a soft spot for it, but I did read in my journal earlier someone at one point saying, I have no soft spot. So glad I have soft spots.
Oh, you said that you don't have any soft
spots? No, somebody else told me I don't have a soft spot.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, I did cry 2.5 times during Lilo and Stitch last night.
2.5?
So, yeah.
What was the 0.5?
Just like one tear.
Okay.
And granted, the one and two were not like full-blown crying, but it was multiple tears.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like crying.
What were the places that really got you?
Great question. Let's not.
Okay.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Anyway, if you want to discuss my family situation, you can listen to episode 3.1. And why I might get choked up during
the
Lilo
and Stitch. And that
will
make sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, I like it. I like the EP.
Yeah, I would say, what has your journey been getting from? Because I remember the time when you were like, I want to take this off of Bandcamp. And I said, I think we should keep it up. And you said, I want to take it down. And I think it was good at the time that it got taken down. Because
I think it was
worthwhile to, you know, go through the exercise of putting it back up.
I mean, it's a button click. It's a button
but
click.
But still, like, you know.
I think I was just being too precious about it and embarrassed about the stuff we used to make because it sounded different than the stuff that we made then. And, you know, it's,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't matter to me anymore. I think it just sounds good and the songs are good.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that I wrote as much now as I did then. There are so many ideas in this fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I am envious of that person and surprised because I feel like I was feeling so unmotivated and unable to make things then, and that evidence suggests the opposite it was true. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it's good too. And I think it is a worthwhile exercise that I think more people who play music should do. Maybe not on a podcast necessarily, but like go back and listen to your old stuff and like with a critical ear and an appreciation for, you know, where you have been. I think it's a worthwhile exercise.
Yeah.
For sure.
There is one last track.
There is, yeah.
Rock and roll is here to stay.
And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Since you had mentioned at the beginning of the episode that this was going to be probably the last episode for a while where we go back and revisit your old journals. So I had watched, you know, the Netflix special that Bo Burnham put out, the mm-hmm. new one. And so that sent me down a spiral.
Great.
And I had watched a YouTube video of an interview that he did, and he talked about a lot of stuff. But one of the things he mentioned was, you know, it's like the performative nature of vulnerability even in private, and he had said something that kind of struck me that I wanted to post to you, which is that, you know, he was like, you know, go back and like read your old journals, even like that is a performance in a lot of ways. Like you are performing for your current self, or performing for your future self, or performing for whoever might read it, performing for whatever reason. And I'm curious if that, you know, going back and reading these old things, is that, do you feel like these things that you have written, do they feel performative to you? Do they feel genuine? Maybe a little bit of both.
I think about that often, like as yeah. I'm writing, and I get frustrated because I catch myself pre-writing and self-editing before I even go to journal about something, which then becomes the cancellation process of like, as a self-editor, it prevents me from getting like a shitty first draft, you know, that kind yeah. of thing where you need the shitty first draft to make the good second draft and like the really good third draft. And I will catch myself doing that. I will write about doing that. I will write about, like, you know, how I consider who may read this in the future. You mm-hmm. know, if I were to ever be a person of popularity or, you know,
yeah.
fame, infamy, whatever.
Yeah.
How these things may be mined for content in a different way that we do now. I think about that very often. You know, everything we do feels, I'm not going to say for everybody, but everything I do in the world feels more performative now as an adult, especially in the context of, like, social media. Like mm-hmm. I can't post about anything authentically without feeling it being a display
mm-hmm.
because it is a display, right. But it's like,
it doesn't necessarily mean that the feelings aren't real,
right,
but
it is performing vulnerability, even if it is a genuine performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I don't want to look at them anymore for a little while. You know, reading somebody telling you don't have a soft spot will really put things in perspective.
It's tough. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll just have to find other content for the people.
I'm sure we will figure it out.
Some people think that we're the same. Call us by each other's name. So it's time to play a game called Tag Yourself.
Today on Tag Yourself, we have another suggestion. Thank you, Anna Ladd, for posing to us the question of which one is Ricky Bobby and which one is Jean Girard from the 2006 movie Talladega Nights.
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Thank you for adding the colon. Very important. I had not thought about this movie in quite some time before we got that email from Anna Ladd.
I had never seen it before.
And for anybody else who has never seen it before, let me read a synopsis from the IMDb page. I wish whoever had written this was given credit, because I don't think a person who works for IMDb would have written the synopsis, but it is excellent. Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby is a Will Ferrell comedy, really an ethics lesson re the Bush administration, deeply embedded in satire, parody, toilet humor, a sick appreciation for the NASCAR lifestyle, and a European acceptance of certain terrible realities about the American dream. This overlong, narcissistic, self-reflecting, but astonishing and frequently funny film follows a fictional NASCAR racing driver, a psychologically damaged man-child named Ricky Bobby, who lives his life according to the adage that, quote, if you're not number one, you're last. Which isn't even the real thing. It's if you're not first, you're last. I didn't catch that the first time I read this, and so I'm even the more fired up about it. This ideology causes problems with his best friend and co-racer, parentheses, Cal Naughton Jr., played by the wickedly talented John C. Reilly, end parentheses, who must always come in second to maintain his close friendship with Ricky. But Ricky gets his comeuppance as he must face an attempt to depose him by the very gay French racer Jean Girard, parentheses, who reads it's the stranger. I can't speak French. While beating Ricky Bobby on the track. An intensely passive-aggressive betrayal by his boyhood pal, Cal, who breaks up his marriage and moves into his home, and, mostly, his own inability to understand the province of his problems with relationships. This movie should also win an award for product placement, although with a backdrop like NASCAR, was there any other way but the American way? And that's the movie.
There was a lot of editorializing going on in that synopsis.
So much, and I enjoyed every second of it. And so, since Lauren had never seen it,
mm-hmm.
we watched the whole thing
mm-hmm.
and recorded it.
For research.
And I have put together 8 minutes.
8 minutes?
Out of 1 hour and 47 minutes. Of us editorializing.
Okay.
To figure out the answer to this very important question.
Okay.
Who is Ricky Bobby and who is Jean Sherard?
Okay.
So Lauren and I are about to watch Talladega Nights. Thank you again, Anna Ladd, for your tag yourself suggestion, and my roommate Andrew for making things available when we need them to be. Lauren.
Yes.
When was the last time you watched this film?
Never.
You've never seen it?
No.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I saw it in theaters.
Really?
In the year of our Lord, 2006. In the great small town of Tonkanic, Pennsylvania, at the Dietrich Theater.
The old Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
I feel like I have, I feel like this is one of those movies that's just, on TV sometimes.
Yes. I mean, it's been a long time since I've had cable, but I think it was on cable the last time that I had cable.
Like, I feel like I have visions of this film, but I have never actually, sat down and watched it.
Do you think you're prepared for this?
As I'll ever be.
All right, well, let's hit it.
America is all about speed. Hot, nasty pass.
Famously accordable to Eleanor Roosevelt.
Okay, I missed what happened to the driver.
I forgot the plot line, but okay. Something happened to the driver and they needed somebody to fill in is all you really need to know.
It seems like this is taking a lot of time. Like, is it the whole point of the pit stop is that it takes 10 seconds and then yes. they go again? Tag yourself.
That's not the tag yourself we're doing here. But you're Ricky.
Everybody, this is my husband, Gregory.
So that's a track.
Did he just say husband? Sweet Lord. Dad hired a gay Frenchman as your teammate.
Room's starting to spin real fast. Because of gayness.
Your casual 2006 homophobia.
That'll happen, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know the feeling when the room is spinning? Because
of the gayness?
Gayness,
yeah.
Okay, so current impressions.
I don't know, man. It's just this movie is just so of a time.
Yes. I was talking about the tag yourself.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's tough. Honestly, the Will Ferrell John C. Reilly is way easier. But I don't know.
All right, we'll keep going.
We gotta keep going.
Listen, you better be careful because tomorrow you're going to get beaten. Beaten real bad, cowboy.
Really?
Yes!
I wanna know. That's me. That's to me.
Tomorrow you're going to be a cowboy.
I'm gonna do a real one. Just because that cops on that. I play for keeps.
So, like, are they gonna fuck or what?
I don't know the last time I saw people's faces be that close
well,
to each other.
It's like a whole trope when, you just have two people who are supposed to be enemies and they just, get to talking real close to each other.
Baby, 'cause you're so sweet.
Thanks, Dharma. Cal, you could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
Oh, look, say it one more time.
Shake it back!
Does that feel good?
Yeah, it rhymes. You're both verbs.
Am I Sacha Baron Cohen?
I can't tell. It's hard to tell.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hello.
You up?
No.
Wake up. I need to talk to you.
I think your house is haunted.
Hey, come on. It's 2:30 in the morning.
I can't sleep in here, man. I'm scared.
Look, there's nothing to be scared of. It's a new house. There's a lot of creeps and bones and groans in it.
I miss you, bro.
Hey, I don't know why I'm talking to you. Remember that I hate you?
Hey, one more thing?
Yeah?
When you have your stereo on at the same time as the TV, how do you control the volume on the TV?
Why do you want to listen to the TV with the stereo on?
Because I like to party.
You know what, man?
Taking care of your eyes good.
I keep snapping back into it. It's like a trick you're pulling on me.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You said you think it's easy and I can't figure it out.
It's like, yeah.
You shield buggy. By defeating me today, you have set me free. And for that, I thank you.
I will never shake your hand. Ever. But I will give you this.
It is a remarkably long kiss.
He's still going.
Yeah. You taste of America.
Okay, so after just watching Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, my thoughts are, first of all, why? I don't think this film was made for me. I don't know that I am the target demo.
You are certainly not the target demographic
for this particular movie.
No. No.
My instinct is to say that what's his name? Jean-Luc?
Jean Girard.
Jean Girard. Whatever. Sacha Baron Cohen. I think I'm Sacha Baron Cohen.
Okay, why?
And you're Ricky Bobby. I like that part in the end where he said, Ricky Bobby, by beating me, you have set me free. And there was something about that that I vibe with.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, I don't think either of us are either of them.
No.
I think your vibe is more if you're not first, you're last. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. The problem is that I just don't have, I don't really have anything funny to say about that. That was just an experience that we had, and that's cool.
It really was an experience that we had. We definitely had an experience. And after watching it and then cutting down that audio to 8 minutes.
God bless you.
I still don't have an informed opinion.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I'm inclined to just say you're right.
Yeah.
But it's so tough for me.
Pure vibes.
To accept any of this.
Pure vibes. I have no reason.
So I think what we should do.
Yeah.
Is bring back the person who's responsible for all of this and ask Anna Ladd what she thinks about this insane question that she has posed to us.
I would love to know.
My formal stance here, after thinking this over very deeply, is that Lauren is Jean Girard, because Lauren is the closest thing to French between the two of you. And that's that on that.
We couldn't...
What does that even mean?
Anna, Ladd is not available to have a conversation with us, so that was just like a voice memo. And I have so many questions about what it means to be close to friends.
Can this be the first Tiger Self that we revisit at another episode?
I would
love to have a conversation with Adela Ladd about that and no more.
I would say yes, but I don't want to think about Talladega Nights again.
Okay, fair point.
For a long time.
I too would love to not think about Talladega Nights anymore.
And so in the interest of that, I would like to just call it.
Yeah.
And let this be one where it's like, you're more of one than I am, rather than it being like an easy, you're this and I'm that. You know?
Yeah.
Because I just don't know. I just don't know.
I do stand by what I said about you being more inclined to live by if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, but I'm trying not to.
Yeah, but I also don't know that that is even necessarily true anymore.
No.
Certainly not in the way that I think it was. But I also think that neither of us are either of these people.
And so on that note.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Few of a suggestion.
I'm sorry. I just got thrown in for a little bit.
If you have something to suggest for us to play Tag Yourself, that will maybe not throw us into a, I don't fucking know, man.
I feel like I definitely am more likely to say Hakuna Matata, bitches, while leaving a room.
Can you let me close out segment? We are done editorializing about Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby. And so if you have something different that we can tag ourselves as, please send us an email to moretalklessrock@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of More Talk, Less Rock. We record, produce, edit, and release it ourselves, and we hope you have fun listening to it.
If you do enjoy the show, please give us a nice rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. We hear that it helps people find it, and we really like when people listen to us talk at each other. You can also follow us on social media. We are at More Talk Less Rock on Instagram and at MTLR Podcast on Twitter. And you can send us an email at moretalklessrock@gmail.com with any Tag Yourself suggestions or just to say what's up.
I'm Lauren.
And I'm Rachel.
And we're just happy to be here.
Can I tell you that while I was driving here, the Bandcamp app told me to open up my wallet for our own band?
It tells me that all the time.
And I was like, I own you.
Sometimes I consider, because a lot of times it's just easier to pull it up on Bandcamp than it is, because I don't have like the fucking files on my phone.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I have before considered just paying for the Coping Skills music on Bandcamp so that it will stop doing that.